Mark 16, 15 verse there through the end of the chapter. After the resurrection of Jesus Christ, I believe this is one of those verses that most people know by heart. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. He that believes not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents, and if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. And they went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them, confirming the words with signs following. Amen. Let's just keep that just in your mind right there. And I'm going to turn over to Mark, the fifth chapter. And at the second verse of Mark 5, and when he was come out of the ship, immediately there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit, who had his dwelling among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken in pieces, neither could any man tame him. Sound like anyone you know? And always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones. And when he saw Jesus afar off, he ran and worshipped him and cried with a loud voice, saying, what have I to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of the Most High God? I adjure thee by God that thou torment me not. Now, I want you to know something. Friday night, they just had such an outpouring of the Spirit of God. And I just made reference to a camp probably about 13 years ago that we had, that just saw just a tremendous, tremendous outpouring of the Spirit of God. And I point out the fact that in that service, and we had probably a larger group of kids, but some so very, very hard against God and against mom and against dad and against preacher and against everything. But when the Spirit of God fell in that place, before the service was over, after the Spirit of God began to fall, the hardest of hearts, and I saw it with my very eyes, Brother Surface will bear witness, some of you were there, were crawling from their chair, from their seat, crawling to an altar and begging for mercy. And this all started after the preaching ended, after the ministry ended, and again, just one young man in the altar worshiping, and the Holy Ghost fell upon him. And then a young lady, and the Holy Ghost fell upon her. And before long, the Spirit of God filled that place. And before long, there was not a person in that place that could offer any more resistance to what God was doing. But I pointed out that after that service, some of the ones that even crawled to an altar, not always, after that service, made sure that they were never, never going to be in the presence of God again. And someone said, how could I understand that God did such a wonderful thing? It was because, and I pointed out that the scripture speaks of some whose shame was the shame as a thief that had been caught. That when the Spirit of God, when God Himself moved in the place, there are those that it brings a surrender and a rejoicing to. But the same God comes to those that don't want to surrender, but they're face to face with He who made all things, and the fear that grips them. And that happened in that camp. And so some ran too, and some, as soon as that lifted, oh, I'm not going to die, I'm going to live another day, ran from. And I've seen that over and over again. But I've seen in altar services where the presence of God, where the person that's crying the loudest at an altar is waiting for the moment they can get out of that place and not come in contact with God again. Because God is there and He's holding court and they're convicted. But the shame is not over the sin. The shame is that they've been caught. They've been caught in the presence of God. And so I exhorted the young people, and I exhort you, that while your heart is tender, while your heart is tender, draw nigh to God. Draw nigh to God. But I'd reminded of that, we read this, as this demon-possessed man came and worshiped. You see that? This demon-possessed man came and worshiped, and I adjure thee by God, torment me not. Leave me alone. And he, Jesus, said to him, come out of the man, you unclean spirit. And he asked him, what is your name? He said, my name is Legion, for we are many. And he besought him that he would not send him away out of the country. Here's the demons asking the Lord. They know it's coming, but they say, don't send us out of the country. I don't understand all these things. But there was nigh unto the mountains a great herd of swine feeding, and the devils besought him, saying, send us unto the swine, that we may enter them. And Jesus forthwith gave them leave. And I believe it's in Luke, Jesus said, go. And they went. And the unclean spirits went out and entered the swine, and the herd ran violently down a steep place into the sea. And they were about 2,000 and were choked in the sea. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. Now, I'm going to stop here and share something. Maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't, but I will. This passage of Scripture, I tell people, Paul said, I would have you wise concerning that which is good and simple concerning that which is evil. You don't need to know a lot about the devil. You need to know that Jesus is the victor. Amen. People, even in the church, get to studying the devil. Well, what do you want to do that for? Just know this. Jesus is victor. The devil's defeated. That's what you'd need to know. But Brother Surface and I, we were actually in a prayer meeting, and a lady was demon-possessed to the point that would actually do things physically to the lady that no person could do, that the demon at times would speak, and someone says, I don't believe in that. Well, you argue with the Word of God. And I don't believe in it either. I think they all ought to be delivered. Amen? There's a lot of things I don't believe in. I don't believe in lying. I don't believe in cheating. Amen. I don't believe in immorality. I don't. So, and I don't believe in being possessed with the devil. I believe they all ought to be free. How about you? Amen. But this woman was possessed of an unclean spirit. And Brother Surface, he was praying that demon just would shut down. Just shut down. And Brother Surface, I was just watching this, and he was over that, and he began to taunt that devil. He said, you vile, defeated thing. You have been destroyed. You have been defeated. You have been made a public ridicule by Jesus Christ. And you're the lowest of creatures. You've been, quote the prophet, how are you fallen? I think he's enjoying himself. How are you fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, O son of the morning? And on, how are you cast down to the ground, which did weaken the nations? You shall be brought down to the pit. They that look upon you shall narrow. And he's just carrying on, and I'm just big-eyed anyway about what I've been seeing and about what's going on. And he just taunting that devil. He said, you are the vilest, the most pitiful of all creatures. And he said, only such as you would live in swine. You remember that? And I'm standing there, and that lady that had been in a trance for 30 minutes, her eyes popped open, and that demon, it was no voice of a lady, that demon spoke these words, said, I killed them too. I'm just going to tell you the rest of the story. And the Lord delivered that lady. And that lady was a light. She passed away a few years back. But as a light, I mean, that shone as long as she lived. Okay, well, so they went into the swine. And I heard people say, give theories about why those swine ran off the cliff. Someone said, even a swine smarter than have a devil in it. No, that devil had come to kill. And it found something that could not resist its will. And it did what it came to do. So we have a generation that play around with such things. Thinks it's fun, it's enticing, it's entertaining. And the number one programs of our youth are witchcraft-based. You know, the mystic, the vampire, the things like that. And it's the hordes of hell. You listen to me. It's the hordes of hell beckoning our children. And they that fed the swine fled and told it in the city and the country, and they went out to see what it was that was done. And they come to Jesus and see him that was possessed with a devil and had the legion sitting and clothed in his right mind, and they were afraid. And they that saw it told them how it befell to him that was possessed with the devil and also concerning the swine. And they begin to pray him, Jesus, to depart out of their coast. Now, isn't that something? Isn't that something? What a deliverance. Will you leave? Will you leave? We're okay with this man bound in chains, roaming and tormented, cutting himself. But this is too much. Will you leave? 18th verse, and when he was come unto the ship, he that had been possessed with the devil prayed him that he might be with him. I won't tell you that's always the case. Jesus said, he that's forgiven much loves much. And you find the one that the Lord has done such a reality. And they're saying, Lord, I want to be with you. I want to be with you. And howbeit, Jesus suffered him not, but said unto him, go home to your friends and tell them how great things the Lord has done for you and has had compassion on you. And he departed and began to publish in Decapolis how great things Jesus had done for him, and all men did marvel. And we're just going to stop reading right there. That 19th and 20th verse, Jesus said, you go tell them. Go tell your friends what great things the Lord has done for you. And so the scripture says he went and began to publish in Decapolis how great things. And I came to this because that word publish is actually the same word that's always translated preach. He went and he began to preach what the Lord had done. And he's fulfilling what Jesus said. Jesus said, you go tell them. You go tell them what the Lord has done for you. What great things the Lord... You know, that's the same thing that he told those disciples that day when he said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. I want to turn, and we're going to do this. And if you were in the Friday night service in the camp, this is maybe a repeat. Daniel, the ninth chapter, verse 24, 25, 26. At some point, I'd like to go through the whole prophecy. There's just so much in the verse, two verses, I never get through it. And someone says, Keith, you preached this before and before and before, and Brother Surface has preached this before and before and before. Well, it's a story that God has given us to tell, and it's not a made-up story. It's a story of our redemption. And I will say this, we use that term maybe loosely, it's the greatest story ever told. And I'm going to make another statement, and you can judge me as haughty, as foolish, as arrogant, as self, whatever. But it's a story that most Christians don't know. And it's the story that tells us why we're called Christians. 21st verse. I know I said the 24th verse. Daniel's praying, and while I was yet speaking in prayer, even the man Gabriel, whom I have seen in the vision at the beginning, being caused to fly swiftly, touched me about the time of the evening oblation. Later in the New Testament, we call him the angel Gabriel, messenger sent from God, came to the prophet Daniel. And he informed me and talked with me and said, O Daniel, I am come forth to give you skill and understanding. At the beginning of your supplications, the commandments came forth, and I'm come to show you, for you are greatly beloved, therefore understand the matter and consider the vision. Now, this here is the angel himself. God has sent, Daniel has seen Gabriel before in a vision, but now the angel Gabriel comes to Daniel. And he says this, 70 weeks are determined upon your people and upon the holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins, to make reconciliation for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up the vision and prophecy and anoint the most holy. He speaks of 70 weeks, and we've touched on this much, but I want to tell you, the more you listen and look, the simpler it becomes. Actually, the newer versions of the Bible will do this. It's just seven sevens. The word week is just sevens. Seven sevens is all that it is. And it's seven periods of 7 years. And that's part of the Jewish way of counting time. And so it was 70 sevens, which we would know as 490 years. And so here's the angel telling a story, a prophecy of something that's going to change eternity. And he says, 490 years are determined. And he said, to do what? To finish the transgression. And we'll talk briefly about some of these things. But to finish the transgression speaks, and actually in the scripture, I see two great transgressions, the first and foremost, the transgression of Adam. And its influence, its result, and its dominion over man. And we understand well that Adam sinned and we're sinners. And we think that's the gospel. You know that's not the gospel? That Adam, that's the bad news. The gospel is what? The good news. That's the bad news. But we think that's the gospel. Adam sinned and we're sinners and we'll always be sinners. No, Adam sinned and we're sinners. It's the bad news. By one man's sin, by one man's transgression, sin entered the world. And death by sin. And death reigned and sin reigned. But there is a time appointed, a fullness of time, a time appointed that reign was going to be over, that it was going to be finished. And he said, there's 490 years until the transgression is finished. And that's the story. It's the story that reaches back to the fall where the bad news began and saying, folks, you know that bad news is real bad, but it has an end. And it's coming. And so he says this, that these 490 years, 70 sevens, are determined to finish the transgression, to make an end of sins. Now I want you to consider that. How many, and most people, and I say Christian people, have been told and believe that as long as we're human, we're going to be sinners. But I want to tell you what the angel said. He said, there's 490 years, and there's going to be made an end of sin. Now, I didn't make that up. You can read behind me there. I didn't make that up. Before 490 years is over, there's going to be reconciliation made for iniquity. Now, how many can see that in Jesus Christ, reconciliation made for iniquity? He offered himself as a lamb to heal the wound between God and man, to bring you back to God. And that part, the whole church embraces. Said, oh, Christ did that. And then bring in everlasting righteousness. And we're going to talk about these things maybe a little bit, maybe not, as we get a little on in this message. But this was the prophecy. This was laying the groundwork for this greatest story ever told. 490 years from today, Gabriel? No, not from today. He says, 25th verse, know you therefore and understand that from the going forth of the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem. See, they were in Babylon. The city had been destroyed. The temple had been burnt. They were in Babylon, captivity. It's coming to the end of that captivity. And Daniel is seeking God. Daniel knows that it's coming to an end. And the angel tells him, Daniel, there's going to be a decree given by the Persian king to restore and rebuild the temple. When that decree is given, start counting. Now, how many think that everything God does is a mystery? No. It's only a mystery if your eyes are closed to it. What God was fixing to do was so important, so powerful, and yet so simple. Amen. He wanted it to be clear. So when a decree is given, start counting. Now, have you heard this story before? Then it's all right if I tell it again. Amen. Because this is a story, Sister Rena, that he said, you go into all the earth and tell. Why? Because it's the good news. This story is the good news. So he said this, know therefore that from the going forth the commandment to restore and build Jerusalem unto who? Someone say that. Messiah. Messiah is the Hebrew term for, help me, Christ. I said, this passage is why you're called Christian. Did you know that? Right there. You say, well, we're called Christian because they called them Christians at Antioch. Why did they call them Christians in Antioch? Because they're preaching Jesus is this guy. Jesus is Christ. Jesus is Christ. Jesus is Messiah. Jesus is Messiah. Well, we heard you say that. Well, we're going to keep saying it. Jesus is Messiah. Jesus is Messiah. Well, you're just Christians. So he said, until Messiah, the anointed one. And he's the one that's going to do all these things. He said, shall be 7 weeks and 3 score and 2 weeks. Why can't they just say 483 years? I don't know, except I do know one thing. He gives only three periods of time here. He gives 7 weeks, which we call 490 years. And I'm sure that was significant to something that happened in that period. But the second period of time, and this was actually a period of silence. A period of silence that they didn't hear from God. And at the end of that period, he says this. To Messiah's prince shall be 7 weeks and 3 score and 2 weeks, or 483 years. Let's speak in our language. So they started counting. And they counted, and Daniel died, but he wrote it down. And they read it, and they kept counting. And after 483 years, and the 484th year begins,
There's a man that looks like a crazy man. He's dressed in camel's hair, and he eats bugs. Doesn't he? The scripture says he ate locusts and wild honey. Now, how many would go to church? My preacher dresses in camel's hair and he eats bugs. And this was John the Baptist sent as a forerunner to prepare the way of the Lord and to introduce Christ to Israel. But they thought John the Baptist was Christ. Why? Because this crazy man shows up exactly when God said Christ would come. But John says, nope, I'm not him. I'm just one sent to prepare the way. You know the story. John's baptizing at the River Jordan, and Jesus walks up. And John, though he knows him not, now he knows him. Because he says, Lord, you want me to baptize you? You're the one that baptized with the Holy Ghost. You need to baptize me. And Jesus said, John, just baptize me. He's baptized in the River Jordan, and the Holy Ghost comes upon him in a form of a dove, and the voice of God from heaven is heard. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, and the Most Holy has just been anointed. It wasn't a mystery. God laid it out 483 years before, until that decree was given, and said, it's all going to happen. And he starts with anointing the Christ. And he stands there anointed. And from that point on, whenever John sees Jesus, what does he do? Behold the Lamb of God, which does what? Takes away the sin of the world. How does John know the Lamb of God will do that? Oh, wait a minute. He will make an end of sins. Is that news to you? I hope not. Well, Brother Keith, you went through this before. It's not going to be the last time, folks. And in one place, I believe John says, behold the Christ of God. And John, from that point in his ministry, is telling people, Jesus is Christ. Why? Because this is the story that God has prepared. He told them what was going to happen. And before it's over, he's going to seal up the vision and the prophecy. The Messiah is. What does that mean? The word seal up is the same word as finish. Same exact word. He's going to finish everything of this prophecy. Am I speaking in deep words today? I hope not. A few weeks ago, we touched where Paul says, seeing we have such hope, we use great plainness of speech. I hope I'm using great plainness of speech. And the one that the angel said would come came when the angel said he would come. And then this did. And that's the most, I don't want to say most important, but that's the part that somehow is lost. Did what the angel said he would do. That's why when people say Jesus paid our penalty, said no, he didn't. Why? That's not what the angel said he would do. Jesus covered our sin. No, he didn't. Why? That's not what the angel said he would do. And nowhere else in the scripture. Well, Jesus counts us so God sees us as righteous. No, he didn't. Why? That's not what the angel said he would do. If he doesn't do what the angel said he would do, he's not the Christ. Can you see that? If he doesn't do that, he's an imposter. If he doesn't do that, he's a charlatan. If he doesn't do that, he's a deceiver. But he came when the angel said he would come. He was anointed as the angel said he was anointed. He did what the angel said he would do, and he finished it all. He sealed it all up, the vision and the prophecy, and he told us so. How did he tell us so? On the cross, it is finished. What is finished? What Gabriel said I would do, I have finished the transgression. I have made an end of sin. I have made reconciliation for iniquity. And I have brought in everlasting righteousness. I am Christ, and it is accomplished. Maybe I'm getting bolder as I get older. You could make a song out of that. But I don't think so. But some things are just becoming so simple. So simple. Oh, well, Jesus paid it. No, he didn't. I don't have to guess. I don't have to suppose. And I don't have to be real smart to figure it out. The Jews thought, they believed this prophecy. You know they still believe this prophecy? Have you ever seen pictures of the Wailing Wall? Seen someone praying at the Wailing Wall? Do you know what the preeminent prayer is? Does anyone know? For Christ to come. Why? Because it's going to be a wonderful day when Christ comes. He's going to finish the transgression. He's going to make an end of sin. He's going to make reconciliation for iniquity. And he's going to bring in everlasting righteousness. And we've heard Christians say that Christ come, but he'd not finished their transgression. He'd not made an end of their sins. He's not brought them back to God in any way that we could see. And he certainly not brought them everlasting righteousness. Now that's harsh, isn't it? But it's what the church says. Don't let anyone tell you that Christ will make an end of your sin. That's the message of the church. Don't let anyone tell you that anyone's righteous. There's none righteous. So they know that Christ hasn't come. They know that Christ hasn't come because the Christ that is preached didn't do what Christ will do when he comes. I want you to consider that. Someone again asked me, I was talking about some things. They said, what does it matter? What does it matter if he paid a penalty or if he took your sin away? What do you mean, what does it matter? How many thousands or millions are going to stand before God in their sin on a lie that there's not going to be a penalty? It matters. Well, that's the story. Jesus did it. And he said, well, look at the world. He didn't do it. Well, Paul said, yes, he did. Christ in you. He did it on the cross. And where it becomes a reality and is a reality is in you. And Jesus said, go into all the world. Tell the story. That's pretty simple, isn't it? Go into all the world, tell the good news. Tell the story. And I will say this. Paul said this, and I'm going to say it with Paul. He said, there is no other gospel. I, over the years, have preached things that were not the gospel. And just because I preached them didn't mean I was doing what Jesus said to do. He said, go preach the gospel, or like he told that, you go tell them. You go tell them. You go tell them the story of the Christ. And you tell them, I am the Christ. And you go tell them I did it. And you go tell them that they'll trust me. It'll be their reality. I was talking to the young people. How many have been watching the news over in Iraq right now? The Islamists that have just taken over, what, almost half the country? And here's what's staggering and heartbreaking. In a week's time, undone what it took. How many? 4,500 lives. How many billions of American dollars? 11 years. I mean, I don't know if the cost of that war to us was reaching $1 trillion. To go in, to defeat, to settle in, to face, to drive out, to sacrifice lives and treasure. And in a week's time, see it wiped away. And those people want to change the world. They do. They believe in their cause. They believe they're right. And they're going to change the world. They want to change the world, and I will say to you, they are going to change the world. They are going to. Not just that group, but that demon is going to change the world. And they're going to do it by blowing people up. They're going to do it by cutting people's heads off. They're going to do it with car bombs and body bombs. They're going to do it by making people afraid to go into the public places. They're going to do it by mass executions. They're set out to change the world. And because I believe God, I believe that they will. And you say, but they can't. We're America and the West won't stand for it. 11 years wiped out in 1 week. I want to tell you about another group of people that changed the world. It began with 120. The Holy Ghost came upon them. And you know what they did? They went and told the story. That's all they did. They preached. That's what it is. They went and told a story. They told it to their neighbors and their friends. They told it house to house. They told it in public places. They told it from the rooftops. They told it in the alleys. They told this story that I have just told you today. I don't have any reservation about saying that. They didn't tell some deep doctrine. They didn't tell some deep mystery. They told a story, and I told you a few weeks ago that you could tell to a 5-year-old and they could understand it. And they told this story. And they went everywhere telling this story. And God went with them. You say, how are we going to get God to go with us? I didn't understand this answer for a long time. Go tell the story. Did you hear me? How are we going to become so special that God's going with us? Must we have an outpouring of the Holy Ghost? We must have. Do you know who God poured the Holy Ghost out on? Those, he told, go tell the story. And those who went and told the story. Listen to me. Listen to me. Be those that would gather unto the Lord, seeking His presence and that baptism from heaven. But be ready and not ashamed to tell the story of Christ from glory. And the Lord worked with them. Last week, I shared what I shared with a brother. And I'm just going to tell it like it was. I told the brother, I told you. And he had been going to get some music tracks because Brother Bruce records on the camera. And he gets better recording. And even some of the CDs we make, we do music tracks. And for 6 months, Ben, I'm going to get you those tracks. I'm going to get you those tracks. And I began to tell him jokingly, I said, brother, those tracks don't exist. They just don't exist. Oh, they do? I'm going to get them. I'm going to get them to you. And he told me, and I don't say this. I wouldn't even say something like this if it didn't need something for us. He told me, he said, well, I'm remodeling my living room. And, you know, I'm fixing some cracks and stuff, and I'm waiting to get that done. And I said, brother, I said, 7 billion souls are waiting to hear the gospel message in a song. That sounds absurd, doesn't it? It's not. I told Brother Surface, 7 billion souls are waiting to see the gospel and to behold the Lamb. They're waiting. I told Sister Jackie, 7 billion souls are waiting to hear the gospel somewhere outside the walls. And I acknowledge that our little CD may reach 20. I acknowledge, Brother James brought me up a statistic the other day. How many people are born every day? 200,000 people are born every day. How many people die every day? 100,000. Think about that. 200,000 people born every day. 100,000 people die every day. That's big. It's a lot of folks. You say, but you're just you and I'm just me. That's right, so we better get busy. Can you hear that? You're saying, but we're just here in Conroe. This world's a big place. We better get busy. If the Lord tarries, I've got 30, 40 years left in me. Let's see. Out of those 30, 40 years, today 100,000 souls go off into eternity. I don't have much time to waste. Now, do I? I don't know where the Lord will carry me, and I don't know where the Lord will carry you. But Sister Trish, if there's 7 billion souls waiting to hear this, it starts by marking one toad. And it may be a son, a daughter, a mother, a father, a friend, an enemy. And say, okay, what's left on my list? And spend our lives telling the story. We're going to tell you about this story. We have those, and I wish it wasn't so, that would even be in our midst that have heard the story dozens of times and it means nothing to them. But there are those that sit in darkness among those 7 billion that when they hear, they will hear it as it is, words of eternal life, whereby they can believe and be made whole. And to them, it will be more precious than gold, more precious than wealth, more precious than the world itself. And if we'll take that, see, I'm going to be the first one to say that we've often looked at the enormity of it and said, well, God's not expecting us. And so we sat down and our years and our lives rolls by. How many understand there's a clock set on your life? And it's going to run out. Do you know that? It's going to run out. And we look at the enormity of the task and say, surely God doesn't expect me. He told 500, go into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. An impossible task for 500. 120 listened and changed the world. Not with a bomb, not with a sword, not with a protest sign, not with an army. They went and told a story, and it revolutionized everyone that believed. Let's stand our feet. We as a church, and I've watched this all my life, I've watched ministries, big and small, that set out to carry a message. And I want to say this, there's no doubt, whether you agree with the message or not, you believe what the angel said or not, anyone that listens know that this ministry believes it has a message. I'm going to stand here and say it is the gospel. He said, go preach. See, all my life, ministries say to people, help us. That's not what Jesus said. Did you know that? He didn't tell you to help me carry this gospel. That's not very smart for a preacher to say. Because when I say that, it says, give me your time, give me your money, give me your effort and see what I can do with it. He said, you tell every creature. Now you may tell with me, or I may tell with you. I tell with Brother Surface. God told me over 20 years ago, and that's why I'm here today, to come back to Calvary Outreach and help Brother Surface and carry this message. But you know the way he told me to do it? Stand up and preach it. I'm not asking you this morning to help us preach the gospel. I'm going to tell you what Jesus said. Go preach it. Go tell it. To who? To every creature. And I'm going to tell you this before God. If there will be a church, if there will be a people, that will take the story that he said tell, and go tell it to every creature. You say, well, they'll live out their lives and never reach everybody. I will tell you this. Before their lives are spent, they will have changed the world. if we will do that simple thing that Jesus said do. This is the story. It's more true than any story there's ever been. Tell it. And change the world. Is that too big? Believe God. That's the commission. Tell it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. How many would say, Lord, if you give me grace, I'll tell the story. In song, in picture, in word, in deed, at work, at home, on the mission field. I'll tell the story. Go you into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen. Lord, give us that grace. Give us that grace. Lord, to this gospel. Lord, that simplicity of Christ, Lord, become so simple. Real to us. Lord, that we could speak unashamedly. Oh, God, with boldness. Lord, clothed with your Spirit. Holy God. Holy God. Holy God. Lord, do it in us. Do it in this people. Oh, God. Lord, we're not asking you to gather to us. Lord, we're asking you to send us. To send us, Lord. Oh, Jesus Christ. Lord. Anyone have needs this morning? Scripture says the Lord worked with them, confirming the word with signs following. And when I stand here and preach the gospel, I expect God to confirm his word. And when you go tell, expect God to confirm his word.